Minisode 24 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey everyone, before I begin today, I want to thank our sponsors. CME Group, Trading Technologies, Top Step Trader, and our newest sponsor, RJO Futures. Whether you're skilled in futures trading or have never traded before, it's easy to get started with online trading at RJO Futures. RJO Futures is committed to providing value-added resources and quality futures brokerage services. You can visit their website at rjofutures.com. Now, today I spoke with professional trader Morad Askar. Morad is a regular on Futures Radio Show, and last year he was the first episode of 2017. And because it was such a big hit with our listeners, I decided to have Morad back on to kick off 2018. In today's show, Morad goes over the seven cardinal sins that traders make. We discuss why trading without accountability leads to little progress. Finally, we discussed what you need to know before you change trading products. And Morad explains how a scene from Scent of a Woman with Al Pacino relates to trading. As usual, thank you all for listening, and please enjoy this episode. Morad, welcome back to the show.
Anthony, thanks for having me again.
My pleasure having you back on the show, Morad. Now, at the beginning of 2017, I had you on the show, and we had a great discussion on how traders should start the trading year strong and make a count. We discussed having a tactical plan to start the year and also the key elements to becoming a successful trader. And I wanted to have you back on the show at the beginning of 2018, and we talked about doing this annually now at the beginning of each year on Futures Radio Show, because I believe this show is so important, talking about setting trading goals early in the year. I know from my own personal experience, coming off of the holidays, going into the beginning of the year, it's just easy to be a little bit lazy with your plan and you're not completely focused. You're just ready to get back to trading after time off. And I know most of us out there can relate to that. It's so easy to be guilty of that. And when you and I were discussing some of the topics to talk about this year, I wanted to cover some of the things that we talked about at the beginning of last year, but I also wanted to bring in some new topics. And something that you talk about a lot are the seven cardinal sins that traders make. And I love this topic. So I want to begin there, Morad. Talk to us about what you believe the seven cardinal sins that traders consistently make.
Yeah. First of all, Happy New Year to everybody. The seven cardinal sins, these aren't theoretical. This is based on my interaction with my own prop traders and other professionals that that I learned from. I owe a lot of what I know to a lot of people. But the key one that I see that's very, very common is not committing to being a professional. So we all open an account and start fiddling around. We're anxious to put that first trade on and catch a winner. We got the gambler's mentality a little bit. When you come into trading with that mindset, just accept that you're just gambling, and that's okay. If you have some play money and you want to play, good for you. But if you want to commit to really making this a profession, you have to commit to it as a professional. In other words, you have to run yourself like a business. You have to make yourself accountable to what you do on a daily basis. You have to have systems for tracking your progress. We'll talk about that a little bit later and so on. But that's the big one. The second one is folks love to swing big on small accounts. You know, people keep their jobs, they continue to work, and then they put together a $5, $10, $15, or $25,000 stake. They put it in the broker's account. They get their login, and they just want to, you know, they trade a couple times. Things go okay at the beginning. It usually does. Beginner's luck, sort of. And then they just immediately want to go and throw 10 lots and 15 lots and 20 lots to make it meaningful, because they figure that if I can make $100 today and I project it forward 252 days, trading days a year, that's $25,000. That's not enough. I need to make at least $75,000 to cover my, you know, it's like a very linear thought process, and it doesn't work like that. The focus should be, and this is a real sin, because the focus should be on process. Process more than results at the beginning. Then the process becomes secondary, becomes subconscious. Then the results become really important. So you got to start tracking those. So swinging big in futures especially is a problem because of the leverage. The third sin I see is focusing way too much on the technical side. So after 2009, I believe, I came online, became a little more exposed to the world from my, you know, little dark prop shop. And I started to notice that there's so much emphasis on the technical side, you know, what moving average works and what fib works and which pattern is best. That's good. It's important. You have to have an edge. However, how many people do you know that can follow a plan to a T in a simulator environment, trade incredibly well, and then they go live with the same plan, and it just all goes down the crapper? It just doesn't work. And I'm sure most listeners are familiar with that, and you wonder, why does that happen so consistently? It's almost inevitable. And the reason is that you're focusing too much on the technical side. You're not focusing on execution. Execution is where the rubber meets the road. It is where your training has to be deliberate. You have to execute knowing that you just don't know what's going to happen, and you just have to follow the plan as it is, as you did in a simulator. The difference between a simulator and live is that your fear and greed, in other words, emotions, get into it. And so that's an area that you can try to be a technical analyst as much as you can, as much as you want. You're trying to find something with 100% probability, which there is none. But really, you should be focusing on, what is my process? Whatever that technical edge is, what is my process? The other one is changing the approach with every drawdown. So you have an approach, you know, you have a buddy that you learn from, or you have an educator that you're following, and it's doing okay, you're happy with it, you start to trade a little bit bigger, and then it inevitably goes into a drawdown period. Everything does. Market cycles don't favor everyone. They favor a certain group, then another. And so immediately you start messing with the system. Instead of messing with the risk size and the trade management, which are the biggest components, you start messing with, maybe I won't use a 14 average. Maybe I'll use a 50 average or whatever. You start to mess with it. And what happens is you cannot track your progress if you're constantly changing your target or your approach. So give your plan a chance. If you run into a drawdown period, I suggest you either, you know, take a pause, take a break. It's really important to take breaks in trading and just spend a day watching, or get on a simulator and do it there so you can stay flexible. But don't change approaches. Don't jump on the next big thing that some guru is talking about. The fifth is not thinking in probabilities. So I think the biggest difference between a professional and an amateur in trading is really thinking in probabilities. You have to know that statistics is based on the past. It's all historical data. And statistics are constantly being formed as you move forward. So you need to understand what you're doing in a probabilistic way. I'm really big on this. I didn't need it when I was a tick scalper, you know, trading a huge volume. But when I moved away, when I expanded my time horizon to get out of the noise for the high frequency scalping algos, predatory algos, and all that, I had to really start thinking in probabilities. I had to understand that for a given context, for a given opening location versus the prior day's open, for a given action within the first hour, the probability that the market will continue in that direction is X. Doesn't mean that it's always going to be that, but at least I understand what my edge is in terms of probability. That takes a fair amount of homework, but at least I know what probabilities I'm betting on. The sixth is lack of awareness of your own triggers, your emotions. What triggers you? What sorts of things get you to revenge trade, get you upset? As a professional trader, I mean, I've seen guys put their fists right through a wood desk and end up with a cast because they just got triggered and it just snowballed and they just couldn't control themselves. They couldn't handle it. And so they end up causing a lot of damage to themselves. And so, you know, when that happens, you just don't trade for a couple months or 6 weeks or whatever. But understand your triggers. What sorts of things cause you to be fearful? Are you too attentive to the depth of market after you enter your position? Or are you shifting your focus back to the chart or to whatever you use to trigger your trade? That way you can keep your emotions calm and be objective as can be in the trade. Remember, as traders, once we put the trade on, we have the same sense of logic in ourselves as someone who is drunk but believes they can drive. You have all belief in the world that you're seeing the market as it is. But in my experience, you don't. You don't. Once you put the trade on, you need to follow a routine, a procedure, a plan. You can't be thinking on your feet. Yeah, if you have experience, you can think on your feet somewhat. But for traders who are not consistent or traders who are struggling given the collapsed volatility this past year and so on and are looking to change markets or whatever, you need to just follow the plan. You need to just move along and follow a process, almost a habit, like swinging through a golf ball. You can't think about it too much. You just have to kind of follow your swing and let you know, momentum do its thing and so on. And sometimes you'll hit, sometimes you'll miss, and that's just the name of the game. It's just part of the nature of what we do. The last one is there's very little stick-to-itiveness in trading. That's not a real word, but people don't stick with what they set out to do a lot. You'll talk to someone, you'll go over how you're approaching things, you'll tell them what to look for and so on, and they'll do it. They'll do it for a day or two, and then the next time you check in with them, they're doing something completely different. They may even be fading what you suggested to them works. You're using it, and it works, but they use it. It doesn't work once, and then they just go away. You got to have grit in this business. When I recruit prop traders, one of the biggest things I try to assess, and it's difficult, is grit. I want to see your failures. How did you respond to your failures? Did you break a leg and were able to come back, retrain, and become a seeded tennis player again, like some of the guys I backed? Things like that. I want to see you fight back because the market is a very competitive mechanism and it's going to beat you down. So you have to understand, you have to allow it the room to do so, but still survive and come back and say, all right, I took my beating, you know, I'm on the canvas here in this boxing ring. Now I can stand up again, recover, and throw some punches to see if I can get myself closer to a win. Those are the seven key elements that I think a lot of people just have a hard time dealing with.
That was excellent, Morad. Loved it. I want to make a couple of comments. First was on not committing to being a professional. Every single year we're going to make mistakes. Every one of us. What do you do after you make a mistake? Are you going to make the same mistake twice? Do you continue to make it? And when I say mistake, I mean that we're getting away from our trading plan. Market's busy, you have no trade setups, and you go in and you just start trading because it's busy. Market's slow, you've been losing, you're frustrated, you start trading. not because you have any trade setups from your strategy, just because you want to trade and you want to make up for lost ground because you either haven't traded that much or you've been losing. You're just trading out of frustration. Those, to me, are the defining moments between you going from a beginner amateur trader to becoming a professional. You have to commit to being a professional at all times. And also know that you're going to make mistakes. I already know going into this year, I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to get away from my trading plan at some point. And we all rationalize for the reasoning behind it. That's what we do, right? You're like, it's busy. All of a sudden you see something, you think it's worked in the past, and you're going to go in here and try and trade. Maybe you make money, maybe you don't. But the difference is, do you get back to your trading plan quicker, or do you continue to make mistakes? You lose money, do you keep trying to get it back? Do you make money and continue to make the mistakes from being away from your trading plan? Get back to your trading plan quicker. This is a business. Commit to being a professional. Second thing I want to talk about is changing the approach with every drawdown. Everybody makes this mistake when they're searching for a strategy. I did for years. Years I made this mistake. Every time I went into a drawdown, I figured that's it. This strategy sucks. I'm moving on to a new strategy. Instead of trading through the drawdown, smaller, understanding things weren't working, and believed in my strategy and knowing that the market will come back to when my strategy will work again. Every strategy works sometimes. Every indicator works sometimes. You have to recognize this. You cannot look for something that's going to work all the time. Know that you're going to be in a drawdown and don't change your approach every time you get into a drawdown. You have to become a better executor of your strategy. Know your strategy's strengths, know your strategy's weaknesses. Know when to trade big, know when to trade small, and know when not to trade. I really believe in that. So next I want to talk about something that you discuss a lot in your webinars, Morad, and you talk about trading without accountability, how that leads to little progress. Talk to us a little bit more about that.
The issue with accountability is, and this is just human nature, it's not really a shot at anyone in particular, is that we are just amazing excuse-making machines, man. We can explain away why we deviated from our plan. We can explain away why we had that FOMO trade that ended up paying us, but will eventually end up costing us three or four times as much as we made this time because we're establishing a poor habit. The key element of someone who's trading online versus somebody who's in the pit or trading for someone else's account, you know, a prop person or whatever, is accountability. When you're on your own, you'll make excuses for the things that you do. You'll make excuses for the fact that you have had no progress for the last 3 months and you just keep covering your expenses with savings. We have all kinds of excuses for ourselves. We forgive ourselves a lot, but not in a positive way, in my opinion. So I'll give you an example. You take a position and the market moves against you and you think, I think this will work. I'll give it more room. So you move your stop away and the market threatens your stop. So you move it away. And then you're like, if I'm moving my stop away, I might as well be more proactive and just remove the stop and take myself out. The market turns, it gets back to scratch and it ends up going a couple points for you, depending on the product, and you close that trade. If I were your coach, or if that was my money, and I'm standing behind you, I would mark that as an F trade. It's a terrible trade. It's a very poor habit. But you are likely to say, I'm teaching myself. See, through that exercise, I taught myself to take some heat like the professionals. And you know, this is what they do. And see, I made money, not a problem. The problem is if the market doesn't turn, that one trade that was supposed to cost you 2 to 5% of your account is now costing you 50 to 55% of your account because the trade is absolutely no longer valid. You got paid, and that's what your mind is gonna remember. a little squirt of dopamine went into your brain and you felt good and you remember that. What you don't remember is the 15 other times that you did this and got burned. There's no accountability there, so you'll just keep repeating that same issue again and again and again. And that's a problem with trading alone versus trading with a partner or a group where everybody's aware of what everybody's doing. This is why in my morning trader bite every morning, I go over what I said would happen, what actually happened in the prior session. I show the video of it, and then I talk about based on where we are now, what I expect to happen. And the next day I show what I expected to happen versus what already it's accountability. I'm always going after accountability because I can BS my way out of anything just like you or anybody else can, right? So accountability forces us then, if we're going to be accountable, forces us then to focus on the process, to focus on what we did, and to document it, to keep track of what it is. And accountability is great because when things are going well, you know, when I go and I have a streak of 8 months of not a single down day, for example, and I'm not looking at my plan, I'm kind of half-assing the homework, I'm not really doing anything like I normally would. The problem is once that stops working, I don't have anything to fall back on. I have to reestablish my baseline once again, as opposed to continuously, even when times are good, to continuously track your performance. How did I do versus the opportunities that were afforded to me by the market? Am I pulling out? What's my trader efficiency? Like, how much am I pulling out versus what I could have? Things like that. Hold yourself accountable. And that takes us into performance tracking, which is a big thing that, you know, you start talking about it with traders and they get glassy-eyed and sleepy. You talk about, you know, performance sheets and setting goals, tracking last week, and then sitting down on a Sunday night and looking at last week's performance and setting goals for this week. And if you set goals for this week, what that's going to do, it's going to filter out a lot of garbage. If you know your goal is to make $500 this week, trading a one lot in EES, then you're not going to take those silly two-tick trades because they may cost you $100 in a stop. And so you become a lot more keen and a lot more realistic about your setups and then adjusting as you go along. And what that does, then it feeds back. It's kind of like somebody who wants to lose weight. They start just eating salads all the time, but they never bother to measure their starting weight and then taking weigh-ins every once in a while to see if they're progressing or if they've stalled. This is what most traders I talk to do. They just don't track enough. And then the other thing, the last thing that accountability does is it forces you to commit to focused, deliberate practice, which is required in any endeavor that requires high performance like trading does, or any sport, race car driving, whatever. You have to really be focused. You have to identify your mistakes, identify errors in your ways and your trading, and really come in with the intent to deliberately hammer those out and get rid of them. So I ran a spreadsheet a while ago. I did a talk for somebody, and I showed the performance of a trader, live performance, with all of the errors. And we identified all the errors because he had an amazing spreadsheet. He followed my advice and he wrote down what errors were committed in each trade. Once we eliminate the error and we reduce the losses to what they should have been, which is his standard stop, all of a sudden this trader who's got an equity curve that's slanting downwards has an equity curve that's slanting upwards by just eliminating those errors. And if you trust yourself and you're deliberate about practice and removing those errors, it starts to feed on itself. You start to trust yourself. You start to perform better. We see this in everything we do. You start to do something, and at first it's a pain, but after a little bit of time, it becomes something you really enjoy. And so that's what accountability and commitment require. And you bring those together, and you start focusing on key areas to adjust, and To me, your time is not wasted. Even though you're not making money, and maybe you would just never do because the market's not allowing that for you, you have learned something huge. You know, it's worth the time.
100% agree with that. Hey, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the show so far, but I want to pause and thank one of our sponsors, Trading Technologies. I started using TT in the year 2000, and I love it. It is by far the best trading platform I have ever used, and I've tried a lot of them. With TT, you can trade the global markets from virtually anywhere in the world. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. I highly suggest you go try out TT, especially because you can try it for free. Just go to tryttnow.com and set up your account. I'm going to give a personal experience as to how tracking my performance over the years helped me with my strategy. So on Twitter, a lot of people will see me talk about long-term primary trend. I use basic moving averages to understand, are we above them? Are we below them? Is the trend up or is the trend down? Very simple, 50, 100, 200-day moving averages. Why did I start to do that, even though I'm a day trader? The reason was because in my tracking performance, I noticed when we were above these moving averages that when I was taking long signals versus short signals, my probability of working was much higher. I know it seems so simple to everybody out there right now. Well, of course, Anthony, you're in an uptrend. Well, I didn't recognize that right away. So I am always cautious of being short when we are above all of those daily moving averages, and I trade those less aggressively now. And I trade the longs more aggressively. Same goes for when we're below those moving averages. When I get short signals in markets that are below those moving averages, I trade those more aggressively and I trade the long side less aggressively. Very simple thinking, but in the moment, I am able to execute better because of my homework.
You know, something, if I could interject here, something that a really big bond trader told me early on that really stuck with me was, I focus a lot of my attention on not bleeping up. That's, I come in here and I focus on not bleeping up. And I have, my entire year can be done, can be made in maybe a handful of days, maybe two handfuls of days, you know, 5 to 10 days a year. That's where my income really comes from, big days. He says the rest of the time, I just focus on not taking stupid positions or fighting the market. Because if I can prevent myself from giving away what I can make on those good days, I'm good to go. And this guy used to swing huge, huge positions outright in the bond market. And that was his focus. Come in. Is there something for me here to do? Good. Then I'll do it. If not, then I'm just going to, you know, stick around, hang out, do whatever. And that ties in with what you're saying, because you could sit there and fight an uptrend like we've had here all you want. The S&P is up 200 and I think it's 295% as of yesterday since the 2009 lows. If you put up an SPX chart on a daily, it's a clear channel up. So I trade on the short side, but I know that I can't stick around. You can't stick around. And I can see that in the trend. I can't stick around on those days unless we get news, which is nice every once in a while. But in general, why are you fighting the market? It's just a very, very painful way to make money.
I agree. And going back to what you, what that bond trader had said to you, I've been saying this for years that you're, years are made in moments. Not one year, not a single year. It's going to be the 19th year I've been trading starting in March, that I made the same amount every week, every month, every quarter. If you go back and look at every year, it fluctuates. At times when things are working really well for me, I've been fortunate enough to capitalize more during the times where I've recognized that things were working well in my strategy and I made more money. The other times, a lot of up a little, down a little days. And like you said, don't screw it up. Don't screw up your year. Years are made in moments. And that's very important to remember I think, for all of us to be reminded that going into a trading year that you don't have to rush it. And I want to go back to something else that you, there's so many things that you talked about today I want to continue to talk about, but something I felt that was very important, I think a lot of traders, especially right now with the launch of Bitcoin futures, are thinking about changing products. And people always ask me this question. Anthony, you say you haven't been trading the S&P in a while. You haven't been trading too much in the treasuries or the bonds. Why don't you find a market that is a mean reversion and then trade that? Well, easier said than done. I've actually had this conversation with Shy Girl on Twitter and she, on the show as well, where we talked about having a relationship with your market. I can't spread myself too thin and be trading all these different markets. I believe I have to have a relationship with a market before I start trading it. Morad, you and I were talking before we came on the show today about Bitcoin futures, and we both said that right now we're watching it. Why? And I'm not speaking for you, but I could speak for me. And the answer for me is simple. I need to build a relationship with this market. I can't just start trading it. Yeah, I'll probably fool around with it a little bit here and there, but I need to see how it moves. I need to see how it reacts in news. There's so many different nuances I need to watch when I'm about to trade a new market. Morad, talk to us about changing products and what a trader should be doing before they make that decision.
I did a talk on this in October. If you go to my website, you'll be able to find it in the video archive. It's fairly recent. And I went into the details of if I decided to move into trading the Russell 2000 futures, what kind of homework do I need to do? And I posted a sheet there with the statistics that I gathered on it. So I go into this a lot. But with Bitcoin, just to follow on your comment, what is the active session for Bitcoin? When is it active? When is it dead? You know, when is it trending? When is it not? How do you sandbox this thing? I'm in the same boat with Bitcoin, be it the cash market, you know, on Coinbase or whatever, or the futures. The futures have been running for 8 days since the SIBO contract, the XBT, started running, and I watch it very closely. I've got the market depth, and I watch a heat map of it all day long. And then the Bitcoin futures on the CME got released in today's session last night, and there are one lots all over the place, and I'm watching that. You do have to build a relationship with your market. The best metaphor I can relate to this is it's like you've been dancing with someone for 5 years, and then you decide to change partners. You don't go and decide how to dance or how to move your feet or when to twirl them and fling them around and so on. You have to start slow. You have to kind of negotiate the moves somewhat, because it is like a dance. You're popping in and out of this market, and you need to understand how it ebbs and flows, its strengths, its weaknesses. Now, when I go to change products, which I do every so often, there has to be a good argument for making that change. Are you changing because you just had a rough patch, you're in a drawdown, you're just frustrated with your market, or does your market just not have room for your edge? Have you exhausted your ability to find a different edge or to make adjustments? I wouldn't want you to go hopping around among markets. The futures complex has a lot of products across a lot of exchanges, right? The CME alone has, gosh, tons of products. It's not wise to go and start jumping into RBOB or natural gas or cotton just for the heck of it. You have to have a good argument for that. So that's really important for you to understand that. The second thing when you're changing markets, you have to consider is, what is your risk tolerance? I bet that if you hopped into Bitcoin right now, you would have, as experienced as you are, as big an account as you have, you're going to have an uneasy feeling in your stomach about trading this thing. You know, it seems very unpredictable. So maybe for you, it's you're someone who likes to wait out a position, who likes to steady, slow and steady. So maybe the 10 years are a better product for you. They're heavier, more mature. Maybe the S&P, it's also got pretty good liquidity. Maybe the Russell isn't your thing, you know, popping into a product that'll have a 20-point move in about, you know, a minute and a half on news. Maybe that's not your thing, and you might end up with a deer in a headlight look and, you know, 40% of your account down the drain. So you have to understand yourself. It's really important for you to understand yourself relating to the product that you're going into. What do you need to know about this market? Make sure you understand, you know, Anthony and I were talking about the Bitcoin futures on both exchanges. We're talking about expirations. When does this product roll over? What is the tick value and so on? You really need to know these things, especially in futures. If you're trading stocks or equities, you really need to understand the company. You know, when does it have its conference call? When are earnings coming in? Are there dividends? All these events, you know, what sector is it related to? What products are in a pipeline? Who are their competitors? You need to understand these things as opposed to just pulling up a ticker and seeing that it looks like your old market. You just jump right in. You can do that. You can do that with small size to do some testing, but it's not a professional way of approaching things, in my opinion. Again, statistics and probabilities. I can tell you how often the Russell will breach the first hour's high or low on any given day historically. I can tell you how often the Russell will maintain the first high and low just like it did today. Just like it does on some days, where it puts in a high and a low and it doesn't breach them. That only occurs about 4% of all days tested out of 1,500 days. You need to know these, I call them gross statistics. It doesn't mean that that's what you're trading off of, but understand how that relates to the statistics you have on the product you're familiar with. Gives you a baseline on what to expect. What is the depth per price? You know, what's the depth per tick? What would a 100 lot do to that market? How much of the depth trades and doesn't? You need a heat map for that, and so on. These are all important things to kind of know before you step into a market. Why? Nonsense. You don't need to know all that. You just need to go and trade it, right? That's true. That's how I did it. You know, I went from the Dow to trading the S&P, to trading the Euro Stoxx 50, to trading the DAX, to dabbling in the Bund, to the 10-year, to the bonds. And that wasn't too bad. It was okay. However, when you start putting on some size, uncomfortable size, and that just depends on the size, the amount you have in your account, that's what matters. What matters is how confident you are in the product's behavior and how it dances. And the statistics help vet that out. So you need to know, you know, I'm short. The market is trading near the first hour's low. It hasn't broken the low or the high. What's my probability of that low breaking? You know, what's the historic probability? Keeping in mind, and this is very controversial for some reason, keeping in mind that every single trade has a 50-50 outcome. It can only be a winner or a loser, and therefore there are two possibilities, and therefore the outcome is 50-50. Even if it's a 99% probability of something happening, the potential that it could happen on your current open trade is still 50-50 because the 99% is in the past, and we don't know if that 99% is going to become 98.6% with this current trade. We don't know. It's always 50-50. So understanding that and coming in from that perspective gives you the freedom to not be afraid, for one, because you understand, hey, I've done my homework. I understand the probabilities, but this could be a loser anyway, under any circumstance, no matter what I do and how much homework I do. And all I can do is manage the trade and manage the risk, period. And so that eases you into a new product with the understanding that I've allocated X amount of dollars to explore this product, to have 3 months to figure it out, and here I go. And I need to make this count. And that takes us back to accountability, to deliberate practice, to focus, to the focus on eliminating errors. You're going to commit errors as professional as you are. Traded for 18 years or 25 years, you're going to commit errors when you come into a new market. You want to make sure you're accountable for those and are aware of how you should handle them. But that's what I have on changing products. I know that's a lot to digest, but it's really important stuff to kind of vet yourself through when you're making a move.
I go back to the movie with Al Pacino.
Scent of a Woman. As soon as you said a movie with Al Pacino, I'm like, Scent of a Woman. Yep. I knew it.
Yeah, I mean, immediately when you said changing dancing partners, it's really, that was exactly what came to mind to me. Because I watch that movie all the time, every time it's on. And I remember him going up to the table and asking the girl to tango. And she said, well, I don't know how to tango. And he's like, well, that's the beauty of the tango. And we just get up there and we tango. And
now, Anthony, I have to interrupt you right there because it's so apropos. During that scene, and I encourage anyone to pull up that scene on YouTube and look at it. What does he do when he approaches the dance floor with that high school kid? He says, give me some coordinates. And he says, you're about 10 feet this way. The floor is this size by this size. You're on the bottom left edge. Or I don't remember what he told him. But he gave him some basic coordinates. Do you remember that part of the movie?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he sets him on the floor, and then the lady comes and they start dancing. That's exactly what I'm referring to about looking at the gross probabilities and statistics, just some coordinates that you're going to dance on so that you don't fall off the floor. Because believe it or not, you go in there blind, just like Al Pacino did in that movie. So you need some coordinates. You got to do some homework and probabilities to be able to get that same grasp. Anyway, sorry for interrupting you, but I thought that was really important to point out.
No, it absolutely was. And that's all the time we have for today. I mean, what can I say more? This was fantastic insight once again by you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Once again, for those that do not know you on Twitter or your website, where can they go to learn more from you?
First, thanks for having me. I really appreciate you having me on for the first of the year again. My website is futurestrader71.com. You can follow me on Twitter as well, twitter.com/futurestrader71. You can always reach me through the contact button on the site. There's just tons and tons and tons of videos and information in there. If you have questions, just reach out and let me know. I'll do my best to help out.
Also, Morad, mention your morning trader bite. I think it's important for traders that aren't watching that to take a look at that.
Yeah, so I do this morning live broadcast on the current market. I focus on EES because that's the most popular product, but you can find that on youtube.com. I believe it's /user/futurestrader71, but you can also find it at futurestrader71.com/traderbite. And then early next year, I'm launching a new company called, or helping launch a new company called Convergent Trading, where I'll be sharing just the same exact process services that I provide to my prop traders. You should check that out.
Everyone, after this conversation today, you know what you have to do. You have to go follow Morad on Twitter, check out his website. Morad, it is always great to speak with you. I wish you a very happy, healthy, and prosperous new year. I wish that to everyone listening as well. Thank you again so much for coming on Futures Radio Show.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.